Hey, Choir Baton, and welcome to episode 51 of the Choir Baton podcast. Today, I am going to be taking you through 50 moments of fun, I think they're fun. The things that I've learned from each and every episode, and here's why I'm doing this. First and foremost, I have to say how much I've loved doing the Choir Baton podcast. I look forward to it more than I can even express to you. I've so enjoyed connecting with so many of you through this and hearing how and why it has meant something to you and that you've learned from the guests that we've had on here. I have also grown so much as a person, musician, through this entire experience. Cannot recommend doing it enough. So this is my encouragement. If you're thinking about doing something, go for it.
Welcome to The Choir Baton, a podcast designed to engage with people and stories, ideas, and inspirations stemming from choir. No other art form, no sport, no hobby, no business requires a group of people to execute a communal goal with just their voices. Join me, your host, Beth Filliman, as I interview guests who are singers, teacher conductors, instrumentalists, and community members. Together, we'll ask questions, seek understanding, and share insight from our experiences in life and in choir. You're listening to the Choir Baton podcast, where we want to know, what's your story?
I have found that as Choir Baton has grown, there are so many more people that are just finding out about the podcast. And if you are a podcast listener like me, there is this temptation. There's several different kinds of podcast listeners. There are podcast listeners who, once they find a podcast, they pick certain episodes, highlights of episodes that they want to listen to. There are podcast listeners that start from the beginning and that are incredibly sequential about going one by one by one. There are podcast listeners that start right where they're at and then go back and listen backwards, or they just say, you know, I'm here for where I'm at and don't go back and listen to previous episodes. So I don't know which listener you are today, and I also don't know, maybe this is your first time listening to the podcast. But I wanted to give you a quick overview about all of the content that we have made as the Choir Baton podcast, so on and so forth from here on out. So my goal was, because it was 50 episodes, to do this in under 50 minutes. I will attempt to do that, but no promises. So here we go, starting back to the release of the first Choir Baton podcast, which was December 18th, 2018. I'm going to walk you through and give you high-level need-to-know info about the different episodes so that if you are listening and looking for something, need some inspiration, you need a guided directory of where to go, why, and how, you can utilize this. I also think, and I don't think, I know, that depending on the level of students that you are teaching, this would be an awesome assignment for you to give to them, whether it's listening to the Choir Baton podcast or another podcast, having them go and utilize listening to certain episodes to see what they can learn from it. Because I think it's incredibly huge and valuable and a cool way for you to give an assignment, particularly if you're looking for online ways and resources to reach students. This is the way to go. So here we go. Episode number one, December 18th, 2018. This was the introductory episode, and I was like nervous and excited and just kind of talk about this vision of Choir Baton. And something I think you can take from that is the fact that, you know, in some ways Choir Baton has grown so much, but I truly believe that Choir Baton at its core is still exactly what it intended to be. And that is a place where we celebrate people that are involved in choir, and we talk about choir, but we also talk about life in relation to that as well. Moving on to episode two, which is the first introductory lesson of the most interviewed people of the Choir Baton podcast, that would be Lamar Davis and Nini Min. I thought that it was really important for us to utilize the podcast as an opportunity for us to essentially provide data, yes, I used that word, data on how we grow and learn as music educators and how we do that from the student teaching experience. So you'll see a thread running from this first year of a conversation that I began having with them. And that's where we introduce them and you hear a bit of their story and why they came to choir. Episodes 3 and 4 are a two-part interview with the famous Dr. Carol Kruger. As soon as I knew that I was going to be doing a podcast or decided to, she was one of the top guests that I wanted to have because I feel like everyone should hear her speak because of her synthesization of music literacy and all things that are developing the independent musician, as she has phrased it. If you have heard people rave about her over the years, which I'm sure you probably have, but you've never made it to one of her seminars, or even if you've been to one of her seminars and are looking for a way to still continue to learn more, then this is these are two episodes that you need to make sure that you check out because it is over 2 hours, well, almost 2 hours of us talking about all the things. Highly, highly, highly recommend. Episode 5 is an interview with a dear friend of mine, Ashton Humphrey. Ashton and I were still relatively new friends at this point, but we're honestly sharing a hotel room together at a district type choir event. And what I really love that about Ashton, there's many things, but what he really captured in this episode is his desire to have fun with his students. And if there is ever a time for us to be reminded of the importance of having fun in our jobs and in learning with singers, now is the time. So go check out Ashton Humphrey. He is the brainchild behind Croatan Choir, if you have seen that popping up on Instagram. Episode 6 is one of my favorites because that's one of the things I love most about podcasting is the ability to take audio from all kinds of different situations and bring it to others. And episode 6 is an example of that where I recorded conversations from the National ACDA Convention of 2019 in Kansas City. You hear me interviewing dear friends from different booths. We are literally in the exhibit hall at certain points to interviewing members of the Aeolians, reflections of the conference with friends of mine as well. You know, no doubt we are going to be having a different national convention type if you're going to be going. And if you kind of want to be taken back to a traditional national convention, I highly recommend you check out that episode. Episode 7 is something that it's so funny to see. It was recorded a little over a year, almost a year and a half ago, March of 2019, how to ensure consuming choir on social media doesn't consume you. Again, whoa, super relevant because, you know, when I wrote/did that episode on my own then. It was in response to As Choir on Instagram in particular was really just becoming something that people were doing and was really kind of growing. And when I was asking people to take over the Choir Baton account, because we'll host takeovers here, people were so incredibly nervous to post and for other people to see them posting. And I thought, you know what? We need to talk about this culture. Well, now everyone, it feels like to a certain extent, is posting about choir on social media or has their own choir social media handle. But yet this theme of consuming social media to where it doesn't consume us is even more relevant today. I heard someone say to someone recently, you know, like, I had a really bad rehearsal today and I don't know what to post. I can't post that. And I actually disagree. I think that that's when you post totally. And I think that it's important for us to have a balanced persona on social media of the good and the bad and the ugly, but then also not feel like you have to post everything or anything, right? Like, I firmly believe that posting on social media should be something that just kind of happens because you want it to, not because you feel forced to. And that's what episode 7 is all about. Episodes 8 and 9, oh my heavens, I have never been to a more effective, amazing masterclass than what I did when I went to one with Mark Moliterno. And Mark Moliterno is the brains behind Yoga Voice. And if you go to theyogavoice.com, you will read and hear and see a lot more from Mark. And Mark was doing a session with the Duke Voice Care Center. I've had vocal issues, and that's where I connected with the Duke Voice Care Center and went to this event that they had with Mark. And it is amazing. If you've ever thought about how the breath and the body are connected to the voice and the production of sound, which hopefully you have, that is a must listen episode to you. Episode 10 is an interview with Dr. Shreyas Patel, who is a dear, dear friend of mine. And if you find yourself struggling with what your parents want you to do versus what you want to do, or even just finding your own story, I cannot encourage you to listen to that episode enough, which leads into episode 11, which was the interview that I had with Matt Bishop. And Matt actually is an international teacher, and we talk about international teaching and what that journey was like for him that also involved a lot of self-discovery. Episode 12 is with Kate Foyles of What Happens in Choir. At this point, we had not met yet in person. We now have met in person, but we talked about disappointment in that episode. Again, that's episode 12 with Kate Foyles. Kate's kids were supposed to be going and singing at their state music educators convention, and they got snowed out and they were not able to go and perform. And we talk about what that was like in that experience and disappointment and how she dealt with it and her kids, which again, very paralleled to the disappointment so many of us are experiencing right now. Episode number 13 is with the amazing Anne Molesky, who has been just such a beacon of encouragement to me through my time in this online educational space. And we talk about how the sequential path is never straight. And Anne's motto is that of being a teacher musician. And she shares her journey to becoming what teacher musician that she probably could maybe argue that she'd always dreamt of being, maybe not, but that is now enabling her to build the life that she wants as a musician and also as a mother too. She has her own podcast, the Anna Krusik podcast, and her and Jessica Paresta just launched a new mother's podcast as well. Jessica Paresta is an amazing elementary music educator. I highly encourage you to check her out. Episode 14 was really such a cool beacon moment for me because it was the first time that I interviewed someone that I didn't know super well. I'd actually never met Drew until we decided to do this interview together. Shout out to my best friend Jessica for connecting us. They work together at Industrious. Drew Fifield is a singing member of the New York City Gay Men's Chorus. Drew actually works at Facebook now, which I love that testimony to the fact that you can still sing and be in choir and not be a choir director and have other cool jobs in tech and all the things too. We talk about what that's like for Drew, how he came back to singing after September 11th and seeing an inspiring performance on the news that later encouraged him to reach out to the New York City Gay Men's Chorus and join. Drew also talks about what mentioning in work settings means for his identity when he mentions, and yes, I sing in the New York City Gay Men's Chorus, and in a corporate setting, you know, you're automatically sharing that in that sense, you more than likely are gay, and how that has been a moment of just kind of growth for him. It's amazing. We also talk about Drew's girlfriend and her voice as a trans person and how that relates to singing and emotions within that. Episode 15 is with Natalia Romero, and Natalia is an inspiration. If you are not following her, I highly encourage you to. It's kind of hard to know what to say because there is so much I could say about her in this interview. It really reveals the love that she has for her students and seeking to make real authentic connections with them and their heritage. She teaches at in Minnesota, where there is a large population of Hmong students, and she did a very cool collaboration in which they really embraced the student, and for her also embraced learning their language and a song that they commissioned for her kids and another joint choir to sing as well. in episode 16, oh my goodness, I got to fly through these faster. Episode 16 is when I basically announced that I was leaving the classroom. And to be very honest, I was incredibly nervous about saying that because people were saying I was going to leave choir and I knew I wasn't going to leave choir. I knew it was all connected and I knew it was happening. But I mean, I also was like super nervous. And so if you are feeling like, I just encourage you to listen to that episode because I also lay out the vision for Choir Baton yet again. And I think it's a testament to the fact of leaning into something when you know you're called to do it. Episode 17, 18, and 19, I'm going to kind of lump together here and say that this is all a follow-up interview series with Lamar and Nini and two of their cooperating teachers from their student teaching experience. And there's so much amazing insight to gather from listening to these interviews, because a little bit later you'll hear the final trilogy, if you will, with Lamar and Nini, where we sum up their first year. So we started before they started student teaching, after they student taught, and then just completed one. We'll get into that in a moment, where they talked about what their first year was as a teacher. So you can kind of hear them in the middle. And then listening to their cooperating teachers is really great. Peter Haley has actually just left his position at East Gaston and is now pursuing a DMA at the University of South Carolina. And Stephanie Madsen is still at her school. And her episode is like some major inspiration. It was really one of the first times that talked with Stephanie, and I don't know if you've ever had conversations where you just feel like you've bonded with someone. The amazing thing is ours is recorded and put into that episode. I think it's also a really great episode for single mothers out there, and single fathers and parents in general, but that are balancing all of the things, because you can hear in Stephanie's story this evolution of personal growth that is incredibly inspiring. Episode 20 is a podcast duet, if you will, where Chris Bunce and I sat down and talked together about podcasting and all kinds of different things. And I have to give a big shout out to Chris. I love to give him a hard time. He is such a good guy, and I love that he has been such an inclusive content creator for not just me, but for other people in this space as well. I know that he's always open to collaborating with people and having conversations with people. So that was really fun to sit down with him, because that is not always the case. And quite frankly, that's not always the case from white men. So it was really great for him to, you know, want to have that sort of partnership of a joint episode. Episode 21 is with Clee Davis. And Clee, I met at the ACDA conference. When I heard them sing, I was like, you know, popular opinion might be to like, oh, let's interview the director, and which is great. I love to do that. But I really wanted to know, what is it like to sing in the Aeolians, to be on stage and to just be immersed in that sound as well, and to be under the directorship of someone like Dr. Ferdinand. And so Clee is that person. And he's also a podcaster in his own right, and a fabulous, fabulous just guy in interview, because he shares how being an Aeolian truly taught him how to win. Scarcity and abundance in the choir community. Again, it leans into that personal sense of who you are and what are you seeking from being in choir, the times where we don't feel like we are enough. And we oftentimes as a choir community struggle with this mindset of scarcity versus abundance. And more than ever right now, I think we can see that even in how we continue to respond in certain singing situations. I think we have a lot of opportunity, therefore looking for a mindset of abundance versus looking at all of the things we can't do. Episode 23 is with a dear friend of mine, Matt Myers, whose voice to listen to is just wonderful. But Matt also shares what it's like being a choral conducting DMA student in his final year. No, he still had one more year after this episode. Now it's all kind of running together to me. But yeah, his final year as a DMA student, and I'm happy to say that Matt is now on faculty at the University of Alabama as one of their music education professors. And so many times people talk about, well, the path to success in choral music and like getting, doing more and building that career trajectory is through getting a DMA. And Matt really outlines how he decided to take that path. Great episode. Highly recommend. Episode 24. My goodness, I love Adam Pauchowitz. Want to talk about an amazing, amazing, amazing man, and want to talk about a content creator that is so collaborative and so encouraging and just really a great guy. I will sing Adam Pauchowitz's praises because he is the real deal. Just solid. And, you know, I think one of the most underrated, underknown things about Adam Pauchowitz is that he is also married to one of the funniest people on Instagram. His wife, Blair, is actually, she's on Broadway, and he likes to joke like she does so well on Instagram because she has so many more followers than he does. And he's like, she's just so good at it. And she is freaking hysterical. So if you are a fan of Adam Pauchowitz and his work with Choral Clarity, hidden fun fact, go follow his wife, Blair Goldberg, on Instagram. And you will also get some amazing behind the scenes looks at Adam, which are just hysterical and endear me to him and their precious family even more. Episode 25 is a dear friend of mine, Crushing Classical, one of the first people that I met on the internet through Instagram, and she was literally right in my backyard. And Tracy Friedlander is a horn player and now this musical entrepreneur person, amazingness, who I was literally just flipping through Instagram the other day, and she lives like in my backyard. We see each other, you know, pretty regularly, but we've all been in quarantine. And there was a post and I was like, oh my gosh, she divorced David and she left him. Like, she's gone off and moved away. And like, what is this post? No. I called her and I was like, what is going, are you having an eat, pray moment, life moment? And no, but her and her husband, who is also associate concert master with the North Carolina Symphony, literally, how amazing is this? They decided to move to Mexico for at least a year right now, and they are out living their best life. But Tracy is all about having musicians lean into their life to think about what are ways that you are crushing classical, in the sense of crushing classical about these perceived expectations as to who we are and how we should exist as classical musicians, and determining who we want to be beyond those parameters. So great. Love it. Amazing. Episode 26 is, funnily enough to me, the most listened to podcast episode, and it's titled, It's the Most Wonderfully Stressful Time of the Year. And I share all of the things that had gone wrong to me during the winter Christmas holiday concert season. So, I mean, I guess if you want to know that you're not alone and still need a laugh, there is that. Episode 27 is with Doug Borwick, and I knew Doug was amazing when I began reading his books. I knew he was amazing when I was listening to our episode, recording it with him, and I was just even reminded of like how far his reach is, and sometimes we don't always know it because the name might not ring a bell, but Rollo Dilworth just did a session in Arizona, and he was talking about building communities, and Doug Borwick was cited in his opening slides about it. I mean, it is just good stuff. And more than ever, as we truly do not have audiences, we are truly like forced almost to focus on building communities. That episode is fire, and you must go listen to it. In March, episode 28, I talked about what is the Choir Baton teaching membership and why do I need it? And I've been talking about that a lot, so I'm not going to talk too much about that because you've seen all of the things, but it's a dream of mine. It's the thing that I wish that I had had when I was a classroom teacher, and it is amazing to me to see how many of you continue to use it and how much it's affecting you. It is closing in the end of August, so I'm telling you that as an ad, but not an ad, just in case you were listening to this in real time and thinking about joining. That membership will close to new members at the end of August. Episode 29 is titled Me Too in Choral Music, and I share my personal experience of, quite frankly, a Me Too moment for me in choir. And I'll leave it at that. If you want to go and listen to it more, I encourage you to do so. But what continues to shock me is I continue to get messages from people in the choir community that similar things have happened to them as well. It's a hard topic, but an important topic for us to talk about. Episode 30 is an interview with the Flat founders, Pierre and Cyril. And y'all, I could sing about Flat all day long. If you are not using Flat, you need to be using Flat right now because it's amazing. It integrates into Google. Even still, it's just my favorite piece of technology. If I were to pick my top like three technology things to use, it would be like Zoom or some video messaging, a Screencastify or a Loom thing, and Flat. It's just that good. And we talk about how they founded it. I think if you're interested in innovation, that would be a really great episode for you to listen to. Episode 31 was recorded right at the beginning of quarantine, and it's actually kind of shocking to listen to or to even look back at and to think about where we were on March 18th and where we are now. If you're listening to this real time in the end of August, because none of us, I think, really expected to be here this long. But the truth of it is still more relevant than ever. And that's where Joan Riddle Steinman made a blog post in her response to the emotions that she felt about how we had to move to doing choir online. And the title of that is the title of her blog, because choir is greater than the sum of its parts. Episode 32 is really amazing too, because it is with two of my friends. We recorded it live on Instagram, and I wasn't planning to make it a podcast episode, and it just was so good. I was like, well, we have to make it a podcast episode. And so it is episode 31, and it is with two of my friends, an arts administrator and a professional opera singer. And one of my favorite quotes in it is that Andy made, and he said, you know, the music doesn't have to end. And it's all about how there's always work to be done as musicians, and we can still do that online. Episode 33 is with a mentor of mine, Dr. Ryan Holder, and we get incredibly vulnerable about depression and walking through that in life, feelings of acceptance, both as people and as different types of musicians. We talk about his latest collaboration with the Sedona Academy of Chamber Singers, and he is the epitome of someone that does his work for the students, and that really comes through. Episode 34, wow, y'all, is crazy, because I talk about the fact that then in April, right, that was your dress rehearsal opportunity for more choir moving online and for practicing what it would be like if you had to teach choir all online. Again, never dreaming that we would be in this, but the topic that I talk about in that episode, in episode 34, is digital portfolios, and highly encourage you to listen to that episode if you're looking for some sort of culminating experience that doesn't relate just to a live in-person concert. Episode 35 is with Dr. Dennis Schrock, and probably one of the most nerve-wracking episodes that I ever have done, because he is known as the father of choral music repertoire and the analysis of it. And he talks about how technology has changed that for him, and it's just super great. Highly encourage you to check that out. And on the Choir Baton YouTube page is a playlist of suggested top listens for you when you are thinking through the history of choral music. He talks about it at the end, and we went ahead and pulled that playlist for you. So hello, really, really great opportunity for you to have a lesson there on choral repertoire. But while we also talked about all the right repertoire, we followed it back up with an episode of Stop Looking for the Right Choral Repertoire and Inventing It Yourself. And I did essentially a workshop with Victoria Bowler, which I'm not sure if I've ever had as much like blatant, amazing feedback about an episode, particularly one that I've been so nervous to release because I'm like singing on it, making mistakes on it, all the things. with Victoria. It's a really great insight into how you can build out composition with your students. And I will say, when Victoria and I recorded that episode, we chose a folk song to go after, and I grew up with the song "Shoe Fly Don't Bother Me." I've always loved it. I have memories of people singing it to me, and because I grew up with it and I knew it, I didn't research it, and since then it's been brought to my attention that it is not a very culturally appropriate song for us to continue, that its roots go back to slavery and discrimination towards people of color. And so I have put a disclaimer on that episode notes. I think it's important for us to know. And I actually have to shout out on a Sunday night Zoom call, someone that was listening, or we were talking about it, brought it to my attention in like the kindest, like most amazing way, I think, in which I wish I had it on recording, because I think the way she modeled that to me was so powerful, of saying like, hey, you know, I mean, I'll let you do your own research, but just so you know, this is something that you need to be aware of. And I wasn't, and I'm just so grateful to that person. I can't remember her name off the top of my head, but so much to be learned, right? Like, how cool is that for us to make sure that even in some of our folk songs, and we're going to get stuff wrong, we're going to sing music that we grew up learning that we didn't know had racist roots. And that's all part of the evolution of what we're doing, is growing and learning. But I left that episode on there because I wanted people to learn both about the process, but then also about the process of like, we get things wrong and we do things wrong, but we can still learn from them within that. And will I program that piece? No, but now I know. And that's why that episode is still there for the multitudes of learning opportunities within it. Episode 37 is with Dr. Sarah Gulish of F-Flat Books, which just continues to blow up. If you want to know more about the process of F-Flat and about Sarah, I cannot encourage you enough to go and check out that episode. It was also an Instagram Live. Episode 38 is one of my favorite episodes, because I literally reached out to this guest when I listened to the Coldplay album that has the choir in it that was recently released. And I was like, oh my God, I need to know more. I looked up the choir. I looked up who did it. I emailed, like, all the things. I got connected to Ben through this. And it was just amazing to talk with him. And he is someone that I aspire to be, in that he is very multifaceted in his approach to musicianship. And I cannot express to you enough how much you should check that out. And, you know, for all of us American listeners that are fascinated with British accents, he was in London. So, you know, that's fun. Episode 39 is with the wonderful Mrs. Wonderly. I have been following Katie for over a year, maybe a year and a half at this point, and wanted to know, like, what can we learn from her as someone that has really grown in this musical influencer space, but also the musician that she is behind that and the person she is behind that. And some great insight into Miss Wonderly, if you've ever looked at her page and just been amazed at how beautiful it is and coordinated. You know, that stuff takes countless hours of time and planning, and you know, she just makes it look effortless. But she also gives you some great tech tips in there for building social media channels. Episode 40 is also one of the most popular episodes, and that is My Voice is Enough, Your Voice is Enough. And it really talks about me learning to find my voice. I'm always so moved when those of you share with me that it was a powerful episode for you as well. And I just encourage you to consider that episode when you are having times this year where, you know, every year we struggle to wonder if our voice is enough, but more than ever now, that will ring true. And I would encourage you to head to that episode. Episode 49 is with my dear friend Emily Campbell, who we met on Instagram. And one of the things that struck me most when I started following Emily is that she was very open with the fact that she was married, and married to a woman, and posting wedding pictures of them together. And I was so moved by that, because I recently had conversations with a gay friend of mine in North Carolina who was facing a lot of ridicule within his teaching community, not necessarily the teachers, but just within the community he was teaching in, about people not being supportive of the fact that he was gay. And I grew up in the church that did not support homosexuality at all. And we talk about that and what it's like to be an educator and to be not just out, but to be open about it and to be open about the fact that you're married into a woman. And quite frankly, the fact that there's, I don't know if many lesbian choir directors, I have no doubt there are many that I don't know about, right? But while in some ways it's a bit more accepted for men to be a bit more out, what it's like to be out as a female. And Emily talks about that so poignantly and eloquently. I think it's a powerful lesson for anyone in the teaching field that is struggling with owning who they are as well. And again, similar to that, my voice is enough, your voice is enough mantra. In episode 42, more people singing beyond the classroom. One of my biggest hearts is community singing, y'all, and adults singing and adults continuing to sing when they get older. And I interviewed two amazing, dear, dear friends of mine who were actually responsible for myself and Dr. Matt Myers having met. Dawn and Stan Sutherland are the epitome of people that I want to continue to target to reach about having them sing, because neither of them are professional musicians. Dawn had a lifelong love of teaching music, and Stan is an incredibly, incredibly gifted attorney who has since retired, but they both are huge advocates of the arts. And Stan recently joined the Flagstaff Master Chorale. Well, goodness, it's probably been 6 years now. But he joined then, and there's so much for us to learn about what we assume students understand, students no matter what age or level of experience they are in a choir, and the importance of making sure that we have communities that are encouraging people to sing no beyond their school experience. And episode 43 is the end of that new teacher, first year teacher trilogy interview with Nene and Lamar. Highly encourage you to check that out. Episode 44 is an interview with Maria Ellis, girl conductor, and aside from hearing her amazing story of coming to musicianship later in life, coming to music education later in life, not musicianship. I mean musicianship in the quote-unquote, I'm using air quotes, music literacy, as we say it, meaning like reading notes and rhythms. We also talk about the fact that music literacy is beyond, more than that, in cultivating musicians that can not just read and write in music, but can also listen and respond in music, and that there's importance in both of those. Maria, I have this like special kinship too, because she's been in the business world before going back into music education. And I, you know, in some ways we've kind of like flipped within that role. And I love that. And a huge personal lesson for me too is that it's important for us to reach out to people and remember that sometimes like we feel like people don't like us and we just need to get over ourselves and reach out. I struggle with that. I mean, if you haven't detected a theme of some of these episodes that I've recorded myself, right, it's that in like owning that our voice is important. And I learned that in the year that it finally took us for us to sit down together once we finally got connected. Anyways, measure. I'm so used to saying measure. Episode, maybe I should call each episode a measure. Anyways, I almost said it again. Episode 45 is the 1st of July when this episode went live. And it's kind of crazy now with the world we're in, because it is why you should prepare to teach or conduct choir online this fall. And, you know, at this point, I can't really refute the importance of that episode as everyone is going online. And so I could say you could skip over that lesson or that episode because it's already here. It's already existing. You already are teaching online. And if you're not teaching all online yet, I guarantee you probably will be in a month. But you should not skip over that episode because I lay out why and some important things to consider within that episode as well. Episode 46, 10 things every choir teacher should know. I mean, like, that's pretty self-explanatory. Check it out. Episode 47 is an interview with Rebecca, and we talk about the fact that all show choir is choir because she is a big show choir person. And I think that really relates to the message that all choir is choir. I talk about that a little bit in even my interview with Dr. Holder about jazz choir is choir. Virtual choirs are choirs, right? Like, what is choir and why are we so dead set on putting parameters on it and pushing out what it's not rather than just embracing groups of people that want to sing together, right? Hashtag more people singing. Episode 48 is a conversation with my bestest bud, Derek King. And I love this episode release. It's long, right? It's one of the longest episodes, but I encourage you to check it out because if you need to feel uplifted and if you need to laugh and if you just need to be around choir directors that love each other and want to love on each other, that is your episode to listen to. And we talk about Derek's trajectory through music education and again, leaning into his path and his voice. He is my best friend, and I just cannot encourage you to check out that episode enough. Episode 49, it is time to unlearn choir because, you know, normal is not just a possibility right now. And we have to be in this space of unlearning a lot of different things. The opening quote from it is a dear friend of mine who's never sung in a choir before, but we often talk about choir baton in addition to other things, and we are talking about unlearning, and I was like, we need to hear this as a choir community because we are really going through some major reckoning of what is choir and unlearning these mapped ideas of it to us. And so if you are still really struggling with that, yay, you are not alone, but B, I encourage you to check out that episode. And now we are at episode 50, the more people singing, even online example. And it is, I think, one of the coolest episodes because like the one I did with Victoria, where we workshop some stuff, the more people singing, even online example is literally more people singing, even online. It is all of us that were on a Zoom call practicing echoing and chaining and really showing you that you can make music with others online. And so if you are lost about what that might look like and how it could go, go check out that episode. It is so fun. It is so fun. And I just wanted to show you that I'm not over here like talking, right? And like talking the talk about, oh, you can do this online, you can do that online. I'm not going to talk the talk. I'm totally going to walk the walk and like show you, so much so that we're going to put that into a podcast. 50 episodes, y'all, 50 episodes. I hope that these little like one-liners, which were tempted to be one-minuters, gave you some new insight into new episodes that you can listen to. Maybe it reminded you of things that you have learned from an episode or heard from an episode previously that really resonated with you. I would love to hear your feedback. I love to hear what resonates with you, what meant something, because that also helps me kind of determine what to plan for in the future. And as we head into this next season, these next couple months, the last of 2020, we still have uncertainty around us, but the thing you can be certain of is that the Choir Baton podcast will be here and have some amazing guests lined up for you, to again, continue to hear their stories and their lives as it relates to choir. I am always so grateful. I know I always say this and I probably babble on about this, but know that it's from the heart that you choose to spend time listening to this podcast, right? Is it free? Kind of, yes, but your time is your most valuable resource. And the fact that you put time into listening to the podcast is unbelievably meaningful to me and to our listeners that, well, not our listeners, although I'm sure it's meaningful to them, but also to our guests, to know that they are able to share their story to help other people as well. You know, we are stronger together. As the quote says at the beginning, no sport, no hobby, no business combines just people's voices to make something that is so unbelievably special and authentic and funny and moving and motivating and depressing and makes you think and makes you question and learn and strive to be better than you ever thought you could be, whether you are a singer, conductor, listener, just community member, all the things. And that's what choir does. And I am so grateful to be a part of this art form and grateful to talk with you about this art form as well. Until next time, Choir Baton, thanks for listening to the Choir Baton podcast.